Worst bridge and train disasters in history occurred 125 years ago. The Pacific Express of the Lakeshore, Michigan, and Southern Railroad was barreling down the track, its headlight casting a gold glow through the dark shadows of the night during the worst storm of the winter. The gusty winds had caused the 20 inches of fallen snow to form high drifts across the tracks, causing the passengers a 2.5 hour delay leaving from Erie, Pennsylvania. They were so close. The train, with its two engines belching smoke and steam, approached the 70-foot high bridge spanning the gorge. The bridge, built nearly 11 years before in 1865, was an experiment in all-iron construction. Acceptable construction combined the use of iron rods threaded through wood trusses. But no one on board knew that their lives were in danger as they crossed that great divide on that fateful night of December 29, 1876. Riding in the 11 cars were 159 passengers and crewmen. Most were returning home from Christmas vacation spent with relatives. They were so close. The Ashtabula Bridge, just east of Lake Avenue and West 32nd Street, was the last leg of their journey before returning to the Ashtabula Depot on the other side.
One of the passengers, Philip P. Bliss, was traveling with his wife, Lucy, from his in-laws' home in Towanda, Pennsylvania. A few of his most famous and well-known hymns are Let the Lower Lights Be Burning, Wonderful Words of Life, and Almost Persuaded. The well-known hymn writer and preacher was on his way to a meeting in Chicago with famed evangelist Dwight L. Moody. The lead engine, Socrates, crossed over the bridge from the east. At 7:30 p.m., it approached the end. Suddenly, for all those on board, the world turned upside down. A loud crack was heard as the bridge broke in the middle. The engineer in the lead engine cast a fearful look back and saw the second engine disappear. He hit the throttle full force and in that split-second decision made it safely to the other side. The second engine upended, then toppled on top of the express car, crushing it and landing upside down, its headlight eerily focusing on the crashing wooden cars as they descended on top of each other. Flying debris went everywhere, including the wood stoves and oil lamps. The very things designed to provide comfort now brought danger. A Wisconsin woman who survived and helped rescue other passengers later recounted her harrowing experience in the book William's Brothers' History of Ashtabula County. Miss Marion Shepherd said,
"The bell rope snapped in two, one piece flying against one of the lamp glasses, smashing it and knocking the burning light to the floor. Suddenly there was an awful crash. I can't describe the noise. There were all sorts of sounds. Someone cried out, 'We're going down.' At that moment, all the lights in the car went out. I knew that something awful was happening, and having some experience in railroad accidents, I braced myself the best I knew how. I felt the floor sinking under my feet. I thought of many things and made up my mind I was going to be killed."
At the time of the crash, there were about 5 small fires throughout the wreckage, with heavy black smoke curling up from the gorge. No one was ever given orders to put water on the fires, so they spread quickly. Without proper direction, the rescuers attempted to remove people rather than extinguish the fires. The cars and victims were engulfed within 15 minutes. Although water would not have saved them after that, according to the inquest, it would have prevented the bodies from being burned beyond recognition. The fires burned until after midnight. Ashtabula did not have a local hospital, so a wire was sent to Cleveland begging doctors to come. But because of the fierce storm, they did not reach here until 3 a.m. 7.5 hours after the crash. The freight house at West 32nd Street and Lake Avenue became a morgue. Few of the bodies were complete with the exception of those who were trapped underwater.
The wounded were placed on the frozen ground, then moved to the nearest buildings. The final figure was set at 92 dead and 64 injured. Among the dead was Philip P. Bliss, who escaped but returned to stay with his trapped wife Lucy just before flames consumed them both. Newspapers across the nation headlined the disaster for months. Relatives and friends frantically tried to identify their loved ones by mail or in person. Those who could not be identified were buried in 2 large graves in Ashtabula's Chestnut Grove Cemetery on Grove Drive. Today, a granite obelisk rises to the sky to mark the place where 19 coffins containing the remains of unidentified have been buried. The railroad company was held accountable for the poor bridge construction leading to the deaths or injuries of the passengers. Today, culverts support the dirt of a causeway-type bridge that services trains that still pass over the gorge. A promise of hope occurred the day after that tragic night of December 29, 1876. A baby boy was born to Mr. and Mrs. Judson Martin, who survived the accident. The survivors and rescues are all gone now, leaving only descendants and others to tell the harrowing account, such as this one on the 125th anniversary of the accident.
Our community learned from this tragedy to be better prepared for possible future accidents and daily patient needs. The idea for a hospital was conceived by those who lived through the disaster. They began a concerted effort to bring about a community hospital 6 years after the accident. The humble facility, no more than a simple shed, provided care in this neighborhood just a few hundred yards from the bridge. Through the years, the efforts and hard work of those who cared have made a great change in Ashtabula County health care and brought about today's Ashtabula County Medical Center.